Good morning, Peninsula Hope Church family. We hope you guys are doing well as you guys are continuing to some extent, shelter in place. I'm glad you guys are able to join us today. And we're going to be getting into our new sermon series, Biblical Truths of God. And today we're going to talk about a truth that is really the centerpiece of who God is. And it's, you know, often I think in our humanness, this trait, this word, it's something that we maybe don't really understand, and that's because in the English language, the word love and that truth that God is love, it's just a hard thing to understand because we have so many ways or so many things that we describe by saying love. I could love my family, I could love my wife, but I could also love my car, I could love my job. And so it gets a little bit confusing, especially when we think about God being love. In 1 John 4:16 in the NIV, it says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Lord Jesus, as we take a look at what it means to love, Lord, and the truth that you are love, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to understand this truth, Lord, so we could embody this truth in our lives as believers. Holy Spirit, speak to me and through me, Lord, as I bring your word today. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about the truth that God is love. And again, it's a word, love, that it's so hard to understand. People feel it, but what do they mean? Do people maybe throw that term around too loosely? And as I've done research, and maybe you guys have seen some of this, there's a culture that did an incredible job at describing love, and that's the Greeks. Because in the Greek language, there are actually different words to describe different aspects of love. And when we look at these, it really helps us to understand what we're talking about. So let me start by going through these different words for love so we can have a better understanding of what it means that God is love. So the first type of love is eros love. And this is a romantic love. This is a love between a couple, sensual kind of love. That's what eros is. Then there's a philia love. That's a brotherly love. You think of Philadelphia. It's a friendship love. So this is a love that many people experience with their friends, with someone that you consider a brother or sister in Christ. And then there's a philousia love. And this is a self-love. This is that self-care. It's taking care of yourself. This is another kind of love. It's a respect. It's a love. It's a care for one's self. And then there is storge, or storge as some people might pronounce it. And this is a familial love. So this is a love of a family. This is the love between a parent and a child, or siblings. There is pragma love, and this is an enduring love. And the best way to think of this is think of the old couple on a porch in their 80s, and they have been married for 60 years. And it's that love that is enduring. That's pragma love. And then there is ludus love, and that's a playful love. And if you guys remember the first time you went on a date, the first time you had that crush, it's that the butterflies, that giddiness that you feel of going on that date or seeing that person. That's what the ludus love is, a playful love. There's another love, it's mania. This is kind of an obsessive love. This isn't necessarily a positive one. It's one where you're dwelling on it and you obsess about it constantly. And so those are some of the different ways that the Greeks would describe love. And I think it kind of helps us to think about God and the fact that he is love. But if we're being honest, I don't think any of those things describe the love that we experience from God. And none of those terms are used to describe God's love in the Bible. So there is a Greek word that is used when you look at the terminology around God is love in the Bible, and that's agape love. And agape love is described as the quality of warm regard and an interest in another, esteem and affection. I think many people would say agape love is unconditional love. And while that's true, I think the best example or the best way to define agape love is Jesus on the cross. And what that shows us is a love that is sacrificial. It's a love that does what is in the best interests of someone else, no matter the cost to you. So that would be if I have agape love for someone, I am doing what is in the best interests of another person, no matter what it costs me. That's how I show agape love. And that's the love that God shows for all of us. As Jesus died for our sins on the cross, he sacrificed himself for us. So where exactly does this love come from? Because to be able to sacrifice for someone isn't an easy thing to do. And we see this in 1 John 4, verse 7 in the NIV. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." So that verse tells us that agape love, sacrificial love, it comes from God's love for us. And it explains the reality that on our own, without God, we are not able to show sacrificial love. I think a great way to think of this is rechargeable batteries. Rechargeable batteries on their own, they can't power anything. They can't do anything. You have to connect the rechargeable batteries to a charger, and then they have to be recharged from a central power source. That's what gives the rechargeable batteries their ability to power things like cars and remote controls. Well, it's very much the same concept or idea with sacrificial or agape love. The only way that we can express it is if we're plugged in from God, if we're getting that power to love from God. What this means is that in order to express sacrificial love, we have to be born of God. 1 John 5:1 in the NASB says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him." So being born of God means believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And as we talked several weeks ago in our belief series, believing is believing the truth about who Jesus is, what he did, and why we needed him to do that. And that was dying for our sins on the cross. But it's also a faith component. It is also trusting Jesus with every aspect of our lives. So that's the first part of experiencing or being able to have that power to express sacrificial love, is we need to be born of God. We need to be reborn. We need to be Christians. We need to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And the second thing is that we need to know God. We have to have a knowledge of him. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 through 24 in the NASB says, "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not a mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord." We have to have a knowledge of God if we want to express sacrificial love. We need to know his character, his nature, and his power. And that's what we're learning here over the next 6 weeks, those characteristics, those truths of God. And we need to continue growing in our knowledge of him. This can't just be a one-time event. And those things, those two things, being born of God, being a believer, being a Christian, and having a knowledge of God, those are the two things that we need to do, we need to experience in order to show sacrificial love to others. Now, how exactly, if we are born again believers, if we're Christians, and if we're learning about God, our knowledge of him, how exactly then do we know, or how is sacrificial love, how is agape love, how is it expressed? Well, there is a great chapter, it's known as the love chapter, and it's 1 Corinthians 13, and it walks us through this. It uses that term agape, and it gives us very clear characteristics of what agape love is. So we're going to be talking about 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I finished right there with verse 8, just because it really kind of completes what we wanted to talk about here, but feel free to go on and take a look at the rest of verse 8 if you'd like. But it's such a powerful example for us of what sacrificial love looks like. Sacrificial is love, is being patient with people. It's being kind and not envious of what other people have. It's not about bragging, about boasting, about trying to be better than others. Since it's sacrificial and it's putting the needs of others above yourself, it's not self-seeking. And it's not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrongs. And believe me, this is not easy. It's hard for me. When someone has wronged me or they've done something to hurt me, it's hard to let those things go. And so we have to work towards this. If it wasn't for the love of God, I couldn't do that on my own. And I'm sure some of you deal with that as well. And that's why we need God's help, because it's only God that can help us not to boast, not to keep the record of wrongs, to seek and desire the truth. Those are the ways that agape love, sacrificial love, is expressed. And I hope that we are all praying and asking God to help us work towards that. Now, why exactly is it that this biblical truth, that God is sacrificial love, why is this important? Well, one, it's the model that shows us how we should be living our Christian lives. Those verses in 1 Corinthians 13, they are the model, they are the example, they are the standard of what it means to sacrificially love someone. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not easy. That's why we need that model. That's why knowing that this is Jesus, this is God, this is the truth of him, why it is so important for us. And then knowing that God is love, that he is sacrificial love, it helps us to deal with challenges. Because we know we are loved. God wraps his loving arms around us. It's that feeling. It helps us in some of the darkest times of our lives. Knowing this truth as well, it gives us the ability and the confidence to trust God. Just like people, if I know that someone has my best interests in mind, if I know that they will sacrifice for me and do what's in my best interests instead of their own, I'll be honest with you, it makes it a whole lot easier to trust them and to believe them because I know they have my back. And that's the truth we get from God, that we can trust him. He does have our back. And why? Because he sacrifices for us. We know that Jesus died for our sins. So we know that we can trust God, that we can put our confidence in him. And then the final reason I put down was that it personalizes and rationalizes salvation. When you know that Jesus died because he loves you, he sacrificed for you, it should make it personal. He sacrificed for each of us because he loves us. And then it rationalizes it. People would say, why would someone die for people they don't know? Why would someone take on the sins of the world for people that didn't deserve it? You and I, why would anyone do that? It's because of love. Because Jesus loves us. He died for us. He sacrificed himself for us. I want to close out by reading John, 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21. And this is where the basis of today's sermon came from. But I think it's important and powerful if I read, all the verses here. And I pray that, after we listen to this, I pray that you would ask God to help you, one, identify who you love and how you love. And then along with that, that you would ask God to help all of us grow in our sacrificial love for one another, that we would develop that willingness to do what's in the best interests of others, no matter the cost to us. So 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. and he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Lord Jesus, what powerful words. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to love one another, to love one another sacrificially. Lord, help grow in us. Help us to rely and depend on your Holy Spirit. Help to develop in us, Lord, that heart of sacrifice, to want to do what is best for others, no matter the cost to us. Help us to live out your word, the truth that you are sacrificial love. Help us to live out 1 Corinthians 13 in all we do in our lives. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for what you have done for us. Lord, we pray this all in your name. Amen. Hey guys, we love you, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.